Hello, hello, hello. Great day, everyone. So wonderful to see you all here. I don't see you yet, but I know I'll see you all popping in here shortly. So I'm going to start today with a brief story that I want to share with all of you. And so this is going to be, okay, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Something weird is happening. Okay.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
I said no technical difficulties. It didn't listen to me. All right. I think I figured that out. All right. Rewind. All right. I'm going to start again. So great day, everyone. So thank you for being here. I'm going to start with a brief story today. So, ever since Parker Brothers started manufacturing Monopoly in the 1930s, the standard origin story is that the best-selling game was created by Charles Darrow. According to the New York Times, his story really became a bit of an American myth. An unemployed man makes a board game, becomes a millionaire, and lives the American dream. But Charles Darrow didn't, in fact, invent Monopoly. Elizabeth Maggie invented Monopoly a good 30 years before the Parker Brothers version hit the scene. She created a game that would be eventually known as Monopoly, and she called it the Landlord's Game. And she invented it in 1902, and she filed a patent for it in 1903. In the decades that followed, it gained a small following, and eventually it was introduced to Charles Darrow. He made a few modifications and sold it to Parker Brothers. Parker Brothers also bought Maggie's patent. Here's the interesting thing. The New York Times reports that Maggie never made more than $500 from the deal, while Darrow received millions. Her contributions to the game were largely forgotten. Until the 1970s, when it was uncovered during a legal case. Now, that story comes from Bustle.com in an article entitled, Nine Times Men Were Given Credit for Women's Work. So I cannot think of a more fitting example to begin our conversation today. When are you taking credit? Are you comfortable with self-promotion? Let's dive into the details today as we get ready to lead above the grind. To be here with you. Welcome to another episode of the Coffee with Rhonda show. We are your cup full of inspiration, revelation, and wit for today's savvy leader. This is season 7, and today we are on episode 83. So I am super excited to be here today. Before we introduce our guests and our co-hosts, we know that we always have a couple of asks for you. First of all, go to coffeewithrhondashow.com and subscribe. Subscribe, subscribe. You never want to miss an episode of our great content that we have for you. Secondly, right now, take a moment to like and share the video. I promise you there is someone out there who will receive value from today's conversation. So we are super excited about that. With all that being said, my name is Rhonda Y. Williams, and I'm your host for the show. I am what I call an R-soul, which is a recovering stressed out leader. Today, I am the founder of Above the Grind Mentoring and Coaching Academy for Leaders, where we help leaders really lead with a more modern, aware, well-being-centric approach to leadership. It really is what is needed in today's workplace. So excited to be here with all of you. And today, I am kind of feeling like a boss. So I have my boss lady cup today, and in it, I have coffee with cinnamon and turmeric. So that's what's in my cup. As you're out there listening to our introductions, don't forget to drop in our chat who you are, say hello, tell us where you're checking in from and what's in your cup. So with that said, I'm going to introduce my super caffeinated co-host, and then we're going to introduce and welcome back our fabulous guest today. So let's start with, I see you, Ms. Roz Jones. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Houston, Houston, we can hear you. With everything we have been through the past couple of weeks, it's a good thing to hear you.
Can you still hear me?
Yep.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm Roz Jones. If you don't know by now, I'm the CEO and owner of Jacksonville's Best Caregivers, where we help expand the life of your loved one. Why do I do it? I do it to help the caregiver to reduce that SOS on their journey, which is being stressed, overwhelmed, and providing safety and security. When you can't do it all, give us a call. And for the past couple of weeks, I have been drinking alkaline water.
Oh.
And let me tell you about this alkaline water. It does things to your body that I did not know.
Okay, I'm assuming that those are good things.
Let's just say you don't need an enema. You don't need stool softener. Don't need Miralax when you drink this.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. That's a great way to start the show, everyone. Thank you so much, Ms. Roz Jones. Murray, good evening to you.
Good evening to people on this side of the world, but good morning to you guys. And I don't know, I can talk after Roz. My name is Murray Tilekima. I'm the greatness engineer, all about greatness. I'm the CEO and managing director of MT Energy Resources. And I make sure people understand that they have this greatness and this gift inside of them. And the most important thing, unleash it. So help them to unleash it. So that's me. Today I'm drinking water in my cup. So I had coffee before, so I'm really ready now.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Murray, I see some fantastic people popping in, and we will get to you all and say good morning in just a minute after we introduce Paulette. Welcome back to the coffee table. So great to see you.
My pleasure to be here and to see you and have you see me, unlike the problems last week. I have to say, Roz, you just gave new meaning to the expression TMI, too much information. And you look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. I think it's the water. I think it's the water.
Well, no, I think it's that fuchsia gorgeous color.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I was attributing to the
and
water.
And then the glasses as well. I love the glasses.
The glasses.
Yes. Anyway, I don't know if I'm going to have to be inside or outside, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you for having me. I'm drinking decaf because I'm so hyped up from being on the show and worrying about whether the technology was going to work. I didn't need to get any more caffeinated. So we've got decaf. Awesome. And if my son is watching, I think he might be. Notice I'm using the mug you gave your dad when you graduated from the University of Virginia Law School. See? Okay. Cheers, everybody. So happy that you've joined us.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's great to have you. For those of you that do not know, Paulette is an author of an amazing book called Did You Say Something, Susan? She teaches us all about assertive communication techniques. The book really is a game changer, and I have it right there on my shelf, and I recommend that all of you have it as well, because I've referred to it several times. And I refer the leaders in our academy to the book as well, because I really believe in it that much. So, Paulette, thank you for that amazing book.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So before we get started, I see some folks out there I want to say good morning to. All right. So Regina was out there bright and early. Regina, good morning to you from Texas. Pleasure to be here. And she's got coffee in her cup. It's okay, Regina. Coffee works. Mom is out there as well. I'm here with Elderberry Cranberry Cocktail, waiting for another great show. Great to see you out there this morning, Mom. Jo Beth is out there. Hey, Jo Beth, love this. I put my name on a list in to order this game. Oh my goodness, the Monopoly and the original game. I'm interested in what that must have been like and what changes he made. So that's referring to our opening segment where we discuss the true creator of the game Monopoly. You've got a tall glass of water, Jo Beth. That's fantastic. Favor, good day to you, Favor. Favor is checking in with us, and she says she's excited to be a part of the show. Favor, this is going to be an interactive one, so strap in. Get ready. We're going to have a good time today. And Devette, hi, Devette. It's been a little while since I've seen you. I hope all is well in your world. She is dialing in from Bowie, Maryland, and she's got coffee in my Barbados cup. All right, I hear you out there. Miss Pat is coming up. She's going to be a guest on the show coming up very soon. Good day to you, Pat. It's great to see you out there as well. And Maria Simonelli, always good to see you. Good morning, good morning. All right, so before we get started, I want to ask you all to do something. I don't normally do this, but I thought we'd have a little bit of fun on the show. Today, we're going to be talking about the art of self-promotion and taking credit for your accomplishments. I want you to take a one-question poll for me, just one question. So I'm going to put a QR code up on the screen. What you're going to do with that QR code is hold your camera up to it, and then a little link will appear. You'll click on the link, and it's one question. We're going to share the results later in the show. So we're going to run this poll a couple of times. Put your phone up to the screen, almost like you're going to take a picture. A link will appear. Click on that link and then drop your one question or type your one response into that poll there. Later on, we're going to share the result here. Okay. All right. I'll give you just another couple of minutes to get this code. And also, I've also dropped the link into the chat. So hopefully,
You didn't tell me it was going to be class participation.
Say that again.
I didn't know it was going to be class participation. You didn't tell me this.
Ms. Roz, I will drop it in something else. Well, you know how I do. Last minute, you know, we just kind of roll with stuff. I came up with this literally like 20 minutes ago. Okay, so.
Okay.
So, all right. So hopefully people are out there taking that. And we're going to dive into our conversation today because I'm really interested to talk about self-promotion. We have a couple of responses coming in. You guys keep responding to that poll. We're going to come back to it on and off today to make sure that you have an opportunity to respond to it. And I guess I should also drop it again in the comments. So I will also put the link again in the comments in case you're not able to use the phone scan. So let's get started in talking about the art of self-promotion. And Paulette, I want to start with you on this because self-promotion and taking credit is something that we as women often will shy away from. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay, absolutely. So many of us, especially women, hesitate to let others know of their accomplishments. Somehow we feel our good work is going to automagically speak for itself and automagically receive credit. Well, it doesn't work that way. Your example about the Monopoly situation, Monopoly was really invented by a woman. Remember the, I think it was an Academy Award winning movie about the artist who did the girls with the big eyes?
Yep.
And it was the husband who took credit for his wife's art. She didn't get credit till decades after the fact. How else don't women take credit? Think of all the books we read that women feel they need to use a pseudonym of a male name or their initials, because if they used the female name, they wouldn't be given the credibility they deserve as authors. So they don't even take credit for their own work under their own name. They feel it's necessary to use a pseudonym. So all of this is something I hope I have the passion to hopefully get some women to change. And I know with your help, you have that same passion.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another issue. Not only don't we take credit for our own work, we often don't speak up when someone else takes credit for our own work or steals our credit. And that takes many forms. When someone steals an idea that we have and claims it as their own, or when someone plagiarizes something we've written and uses the written word as our written word as their own, or even if they steal our artwork and post it on LinkedIn as their own, this type of stealing credit really affects us viscerally. I know it does me. So another thing we'll discuss today is how important it is to not only take credit for your accomplishments assertively, not arrogantly, assertively, politely, respectfully, but it's also important to nip credit stealing in the bud. Because by remaining silent about this behavior, we only encourage its repetition.
Thank you. It's such an important point. And I'm going to get Roz and Marae in here as well. But I want to share your opening quote first. So let's share the quote. And then Roz and Marae, I want to get you all to react to what Paulette said about, you know, why we don't, you know, speaking up and taking credit for our own behavior. And then a little bit later, we're going to dive deeper into what happens when somebody steals credit for something that really we deserve. So let's take a look at this opening quote first. A sense that there's some credit God out there who is bestowing credit upon all of us, right, as we move forward. So, Roz, what say you about this? Why aren't we taking credit for our work?
In the corporate world and probably other worlds, if we are bragging about what we do, we're scared we won't get promoted. Or if we take credit, we may not get promoted. You understand what I'm saying? So being out in the forefront, sometimes we look like a, I'm just going to say it. Sometimes we look like a bitch and, you know, because we're so assertive or because we have this knowledge, well, you know, who does she think she is? You know, so a lot of times we could be ostracized or blackballed because we do brag or we do step forward, you know, to take the lead on something or to say that I know how to do this. Instead of, you know, maybe going through circumventing the idea through the boss, and then the boss takes it to the next level, and then it goes on up, and then the boss gets the credit, but the individual doesn't get the credit for it. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens, I want to say this, the same thing happens in the church. Mm-hmm. A lot of times women do things in the church, and we don't get credit. The pastor or whoever the leader is, they get credit. And so, you know, and then also too, we were taught, and you know, don't go in disrupting, you know, work so you can get promoted. Don't disrupt. Don't, you know, don't stir the apple cart. So these are some of the things that I know that went on for me. You know, I dummied down. Let me say that. I dummied down and didn't say anything, knowing that I was the one that did it. But then I was worried about, you know, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to get promoted? Am I going to lose my benefits? You know, those were some of the things that I worried about. I'm done speaking.
Wow, Roz, there's a lot in that and not taking credit. And a lot of it is about what other people are going to see or think of us. So Maria said, always take credit for your work and be adult enough to give credit where it is due to anyone that deserves it. I love that, Maria. I think it's such an important point. And then Pat says, windshield wipers were invented by a woman. I know. You know what? I literally just learned that today as I was preparing for the show and just sort of going through a few things. I learned that windshield wipers were created by a woman. Guess what else was actually created by women? Beer. Did y'all know that? That beer was actually created by women?
I can believe it. I can believe it because we need a drink.
Because we need a drink. Mm-hmm. Beer was created by women. So I'm interested to know, if you're out there, are you taking credit for your work? Why or why not? It sounds easy to say, well, of course I take credit, but do you really? What does that look like, right? What form does that come in as we go through the process? So Murray, what are your thoughts on this? Why or why not are we not taking credit?
Oh, that's something that I've lived myself, you know, working in a male-dominated environment, see the difference how women and men, you know, behave in front of what they achieve. And I've seen, you know, men, they, and even in the language already, men, when they achieve something, it's high, and women, it's we. So it's already, there's already a big difference, you know, in the language. And I've seen women accomplishing amazing things. And I was actually doing that at the beginning, and not just waiting to be recognized and not speaking up. Even when they, you know, they, when it's time for promotion, they have all the evidence, but they don't speak up. They wait to be recognized, or they go behind, they have a man in front, and then they basically follow this man. And it's amazing, you know, I think it's, we've been conditioned basically to be humble, to be, you know, always taking care of the community and representing the community and not being an individual in a way. And we're bringing it to the workplace, and that's sometimes very detrimental to us. So I was doing it at the beginning, and I changed because I just got frustrated, just realized that, you know, my work was used, and you see people climbing and you're like, what? So I just, you know, stepped back and started to really promote myself, you know, initiate presentation, initiate, you know, publishing, talking about it. You know, and speaking up during meetings, because otherwise nobody will do it for me. They would actually use what, you know, I do. They were using what I do, but not really, you know, recognizing me to a point where at some point, because I was working for a multinational, and I initiated a project with, you know, an algorithm and things that was making a big difference in the group. And I went to a presentation, somebody was presenting my work. And I'm like, what?
Oh my goodness.
And that's when I said, enough. I need to change. I need to, you know, take control. And I think we are conditioned. And it's even worse for us, you know, African women, because you have the conditioning, the traditional conditioning, and then on top of that, the woman conditioning. So you basically taught that you have to respect your, you know, your superior and wait for them to give you the permission to speak. And then on top of that, there's the conditioning as a woman. If you start to be, you know, take initiative, be a little bit more aggressive, they give you a label. And I think Rose talked about it. So these are really different challenges that we have to go through. And I think coaching is very important. Coaching and mentoring is very important so far.
I think so too. So Paulette, mm-hmm. You know, we talk about waiting for others or having permission, and Murray touched on this, right? And it might be a cultural thing that's expected, or it just might be your own belief. How do you deal with people who are waiting for permission or just really waiting for others to go, oh, look how wonderful you are?
I subscribe to the principle, do it. Don't ask permission. Do it. Apologize later.
That's Roz, what men do. That's what they do.
Well, just do it if you think it's right. I mean, and then apologize later. And we have to, and as Roz pointed out, and as Murray pointed out, women more than men are socialized not to do this. And Roz is presenting a no-win situation. She says, if you toot your own horn and if you express your achievements, you're not going to be promoted. And research shows when you don't do those things, you don't get promoted anywhere.
Right.
So better to err on the side of presenting your achievements and highlighting them, because either way, it could be no lose and you stand a much better chance with the former.
Yeah, I think that's really important, Paulette, that you're in a, if you've got a 50-50 chance, then right, just go for it, right? And if it doesn't work out, then oh well. But I mean, Roz, you know, when we go through this, it really is a mental construct that we are fighting mm-hmm. against our yes. own conditioning and our yes. own mindset around growing up, around being quiet, being sweet, being liked, being humble, being kind, being all of these things. And in the meantime, we don't get a raise and we don't get promoted.
Mm-hmm. But also too, I want to inject, and this is just from my experience, the word submission, submit. You know, my grandmother was taught to submit to her husband. My mother was, you know, so that came from church and also mm-hmm. came culturally that, you know, we are supposed to submit. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about in other cultures, but I know as in the house where I grew up with, you know, it was about submission. So then we carried that into the workplace. You know, mm-hmm. you don't go against the boss. You don't outshine the boss. You know, you don't do any of this because then there's repercussions. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to put that out there mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, and I think I support that. I mean, I had a very interesting experience because, you know, as in Gabon, so we when we get married, we have the traditional wedding, and then we have the civil wedding. And during my traditional wedding, you know, they had meetings. And sometimes I wanted to interact, and they're like, you're not allowed to talk. You know, you're not allowed to talk. The elders are talking, but you're not allowed to talk. And it is your wedding. So you can imagine this kind of conditioning.
Right.
And if you bring it to the, you know, to the marketplace, I mean, there's no way you will succeed or, you know, make sure that somebody listen to what you have to do. And it was shocking. It was shocking, but that's tradition. But luckily, you know, when I got out of it, I'm like, that's not me. I have to change. So, you know, sometimes the cultural background is also very strong. And then on top of that, the conditioning that we have when we are, you know, when we are young girls, you know, be humble, help at home, always, you know, have, you know, the community aspect right. of things instead of looking more at you and then, you know, satisfying yourself and then helping the community later on. So that's the nurturing true. Aspect of things that they bring, you know, into our education. And it's difficult to break the cycle. Sometime.
I do think that there's this element that we believe that it's either or, right? And, yeah. and I don't know that that's true. I think it's and, it's both and, right? Mm-hmm. So you can self-promote, you mm-hmm. can take credit, you can initiate and support mm-hmm. and lift others and do these things yes. at the same time. So I want to go back to Pat's question. Mm-hmm. Pat says, it confounds me when a woman leader who is your boss, that it's when it's a woman leader who's your boss that takes credit and her experience, the higher up one goes in the company, the more it seems to occur. And I think, Pat, that's an interesting perspective. I think it sometimes is that when you go up higher, you begin to feel like you've really got to prove yourself, right? You've got to prove yourself. You're on this island. They say it's leadership is lonely at the top. I assert that leadership is only lonely at the top when you are leading on an island and you're not including your people, but that's a whole different show, right? So I think it has something to do sometimes with that client. I also think it has to do with, and Paul, I want to get your feedback on this. I also think it has to do with the role models that they see when they get hired. Who did they see up there? They see men. They don't see women. Right. And so they are adopting many behaviors that are unbecoming and don't support their team.
And I think that's they have to do it because the system is such, because men are the leaders, that if they want to go up there, they have to basically, you know, play the game. And it's interesting because most of the time when, you know, there are blockages, the women themselves are part of it. They are the one judging if you become, you know, more aggressive, really, you know, going up, self-promoting yourself. The women are actually the one like saying, she's not behaving, you know, like a woman, and it's not good. So right. You basically stuck between two, so the system and then the woman that are telling you, no, you shouldn't do that.
Paula, it's tough, right? Mm-hmm. It's a difficult place to be. However, mm-hmm. I think it goes back to what you said, Paulette. If you're going to be in a difficult place anyway, you mm-hmm. might as well pick the option that's going to benefit you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. I hear Murray, I hear Roz using the word, you sound aggressive when you do that. Well, that's why mm-hmm. I want to get into the show, because there's many ways to promote ourselves and to take mm-hmm. credit for what we do without coming across as aggressive or arrogant, while coming across as assertive. And I think women hesitate to take credit because they automatically think they're going to be looked upon as being boastful or aggressive mm-hmm. or arrogant. And that's why that's some of the strategies I'd like to deal with in mm-hmm. the show today.
Yeah.
That we don't have to come across that way.
No. And let's come back to that for 1 second. I want you to address something really specifically here, because Maria says there's such a thing as strategically bragging. And yes, she's using that term, but she finds that many women find speaking up for themselves a confusing concept, and they believe their work should speak for itself. So I want you to, Paulette, address that whole notion of, well, my work should speak for itself and I shouldn't need to do anything else.
Okay, I will. And let me give you a little analogy. You go to a doctor who prescribes medicine, and the medicine has side effects. So you go back to the doctor and you say, gee, doctor, why didn't you tell me this medicine had these side effects? And the doctor says, well, you didn't ask. Well, I shouldn't have to ask. You should have told me. Well, okay, so this is what I tell workshop participants who say the exact same thing to me, should have. Should? Very interesting choice of words. You're right. We shouldn't have to ask what the side effects are. The doctor should tell us. We shouldn't have to promote ourselves. Our work should come to the attention, but it doesn't. So we can get righteously indignant about not asking the questions we need to ask. We could get righteously indignant about expecting us to be offered a raise because we deserve a raise based on our hard work instead of asking for one. And our righteous indignation will get us nowhere.
Yeah.
So, sure. I'm sure we could get rid of. So if we don't ask, if we don't self-promote, whether we should, quote unquote, have to or not, we're the losers.
Oh, man.
Bottom line, we lose. So stick to your righteous indignation that you shouldn't have to and lose, or overcome it, rise above it. Be assertive, do what we need to do, and rise.
Yes. Uh-oh, Roz wants to get in here. Roz?
As I was listening to Dr. Paulette, what is the difference between advertisers on TV talking about their products and us talking about our products?
Mm.
Because for a long time, it took me a while to start even talking about my business, that I was a business owner.
There's a lot of similarities, aren't there? You need to let people know what you have to offer.
Because if you don't tell them you have a service, how are you going to get business? The old adage, it's a poor frog that doesn't brag about it. It's his own lily pad or whatever, wherever he's sitting, wherever, whatever it is. But, you know, if you don't talk about it, don't nobody know about it.
Exactly.
You know, the news are the same thing. If you don't talk about it, we don't know what's going on. The same thing with a hurricane. If we don't get a warning, we don't know to make the necessary changes. So you have to. I used to be embarrassed about talking about it, but now when I walk in a room, it's a whole atmosphere change. Trust me. And that came with time. That
yes.
came with time because I had to change my mind.
Yes.
I'm done speaking.
All right. Before we go on, and I'm going to let everybody respond to that wants to, I want to just remind everybody that we are running a one question poll. And if you would take a picture of this and of this QR code or hold your camera up to it, it will take you to our one question poll that you can respond to. And it's only one question. So when you hold your camera over it, a link will appear. You click on the link. It'll take you to the one question. And we're going to share those results coming up here in just a little bit of what people are saying. Also in the comments, I have placed the link there in the comments in case it's easier for you to just click. So I do want to start to get some strategies around this because I do think that people are really wanting to do this in a way that feels good to them, right? And I think that's a part of the bottom line. I don't want to be something I'm not. I'm not a braggadocious person. I'm not one of those B word people. I'm not that. And if I think that self-promotion is going to put me in that category, I'm not going to do it. Because that's not who I am. And that's sort of fighting against my nature. Before I do that, I want to acknowledge our friend out there. Hey, Brett, we could probably use some self-promotion techniques from you and how we take credit for things. And one of the things that Brett said is fly like an eagle, right? Fly like an eagle, soar high. I will go back to one of my favorite quotes. Why are you trying so hard to fit in when you were born to stand out? Right? You are born to be a rock star. You are born to share your gifts with the world. Why are you hiding those? Right? So Paulette, let's talk a little bit about strategy, right?
Okay.
How do I begin to share my accomplishments in a way that others, I'm going to leave others aside because I think we've got to deal with ourselves first, in a way that I can feel comfortable.
Okay. So bear with me.
And also let me know when you want me to run that. I almost forgot about the clip.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's do this. We're going to discuss that. First of all, when you hear someone, and I am going to discuss pointers on just promoting yourself, not necessarily how to nip credit stealing in the bud. I would like to say that working remotely regarding this promoting ourselves, this working remotely has definitely made it harder for peers to see all the work that we're doing. So that is a conundrum. And Tessa West wrote recently in Harvard Business Review that don't wait until a performance review to talk about your successes. Send your manager or any team members weekly updates about your progress or things you're working on or things your team is working on via email. So by updating your team, other peers and decision makers, it assures that your hard work is not overlooked. So for example, you might, this is assertive, this isn't arrogant, you're sending out a progress email. Team, I just completed drafting a new process for vendor feedback. If you have questions, I'll be happy to give you a preview. Let's discuss.
Mm-hmm.
So what you've done is you're showing what you're working on. You're highlighting your achievements. You're inviting feedback. There is nothing arrogant or brash about this. But yet all these people who don't know what you've been up to now know, wow, she just finished a process for a new procedure for vendor feedback. So that's very important given this remote working situation, because again, It's very hard for peers to see all the work you're doing because of the remote situation. So, so that's one way. All right.
I think the remote, I love that you brought in the remote situation, because a lot of workplaces are advocating return to the office. And one of the reasons that they are advocating that is to say, we want to make sure that you are seen, that you are included, that people, you know your accomplishments, you feel like you're a part of the team. And one of the things I have to say to that is that the world is changing really quickly. And so I think it's up to us to find new ways, like you're stating, Paulette, to do this, right? The answer is not, okay, I have not worked in an office since 2010. I can't even remember the last time I worked in an office. So if that's what it takes for me to be recognized, that's never going to happen, right? Exactly. I need to find other ways of self-promotion. And I love that we've got a couple of comments out here. Dr. Pat says, we might not talk about ourselves or our business because we might be wrong, or we might think it's not original, or so all of that self-doubt and lack of self-confidence that comes into the equation. Thank you for that comment. I think that's so accurate. And Brett says, I love the quote, born to stand out. Nobody should be shy about it. If others don't like it, it's okay. They're not relevant to you. What a simple concept, right? They're not relevant to you. It's fine. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like me. It doesn't really matter because I'm a superstar, right? I know I'm a superstar. And not just I'm a superstar, because you could just be an obnoxious, you know what. But it's also about, what's the work to back it up, right? What is it you think you're actually a superstar in? I know that I know how to engage a team and an audience when I am on stage speaking about leadership. I've got that down. I am not a superstar about rocket science. If you put me on the stage and ask me to speak about rocket science, I'll be like, blah, 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 right? So I think that not only just being confident in who you are, but why? What's the evidence that says to you that you are good? Exactly. So let's try to show this clip.
Okay, hang on. So while we're on the topic of, again, not necessarily how to nip credit stealing in the bud, how to assertively, politely, respectfully promote ourselves, two more little points. And then the clip will lead into what to do about credit stealing. Another way we can do it is, okay, so again, a weekly or even every 2 weeks report, as I discussed, on, you know, what you're up to, what you're doing, what you've developed, what you've done, inviting feedback. This is very gracious. And there's no way anybody in their right mind could call you arrogant for promoting yourself in that fashion. Another way is to use a compliment when the opportunity presents itself to highlight other noteworthy recognitions. For example, the boss says to John, oh, John, you made a great presentation to the new hires doing the orientation session. Great job. And John could say, oh, thanks so much. You know, I've been asked to do it with 4 new groups of new hires over the next 3 months. The feedback was so excellent. Mm-hmm. And the other department, Department A, B, and C, also asked me to do it for them. Because it was so effective. You're using a compliment as a way to highlight other noteworthy recognition. When my second edition of Did You Say Something, Susan came out, someone was gracious enough to congratulate me and say, oh, it must feel so good to be an author. And I said, thank you so much. It does feel great. I've been very lucky and have experienced this feeling 7 times in the past. I've written several, you may not know, but I have written several successful textbooks for a major publisher, Pearson Education, and they're being used in language programs internationally. So it does feel really good to be an author, no matter how many times. I mean, okay. I'm just saying. You get a compliment, use it to highlight other noteworthy recognitions. So that's one technique.
I love that, Paulette.
Okay. And then another thing is, and Murray alluded to this, which was, I was going to deal with this, is using I language to take credit for what you accomplished. As Murray said, men say, I did this. Women say, we did this. Now, if there is a we involved, well, you don't, it's very ugly to take all the credit. If it truly is a team effort, that's one thing, and you want to acknowledge your team. But too often, women, more than men, when it was completely their effort, will give credit where credit is not due. So we need to use more I language. And another way to use I language is to stop using the passive voice. Oh, how was the presentation? Oh, the presentation was successful. You gave the presentation. How about I gave a successful presentation? Okay. Or the protocols were finally developed. They were turned in yesterday. Well, you're the one who developed all the protocols. I finally finished working nights and weekends, and I turned them in yesterday. I'm waiting for final feedback before we can go forward on them.
Oh my goodness. Well, okay, Paulette, just stop right there. Cause that little subtle change is amazing, right? It is a fantastic, nuanced way of speaking. And yes. It comes far too often that you're right. We're very passive about it. And I, now that I'm thinking back, I do this all the time. So I'm doing a lot of speaking engages, and they'll say, how was it? And I'll say, oh, the presentation went well. Well, it didn't do that by itself.
Presentation went well.
It did not do that by itself. So, wow, I that was one I really didn't even think about. So Okay. Thank you for that.
My pleasure. So I hope ladies and listeners agree that these types of little strategies, just honestly and graciously using I language, graciously accepting a compliment and using it as a way to mention other successes. For example, sending out information about the status and what you've done throughout the week. I hope you really believe that there's nothing arrogant or boastful about this, that this is assertive, polite, respectful. I mean, what do you think? Because Murray and Roz, you were talking about how women don't want to come across as arrogant, so they don't do anything at all.
Yeah, I'd like to hear, Roz and Murray, do you think that these strategies sort of could help allay some of that anxiety that women have about, you know, coming away as obnoxious or braggadocious or whatever?
Definitely. I mean, I've learned so much today because, you need to, and that's what I was saying, coaching and mentoring is very important because we've been so conditioned and we only know one way. And as soon as we use it, we get a backlash and we're like, okay, we're not doing it anymore. And we'll just stay quiet. And that's not really what we want. So I'm really grateful that I'm aware of all these techniques now. Right. I've been using some of them, but not consistently. And I think that's what I've actually feedback for the survey that you are. It's that, you know, the techniques are there, but sometimes you're so conditioned that you forget to use them,
right?
You know, and you're not consistent in using the techniques.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Roz?
And I agree. A lot of times we're conditioned to what's comfortable. And we talk about how change is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so these techniques are wonderful because they don't make me feel uncomfortable. So now
lose them.
So now I can use them because now I have control. It empowers me. So the whole thing is now is that I have the power to where before I didn't have power. I want to make sure everybody understand that. So that power helps me change my mind.
Yes.
Change the way I move. And now I have control to where people don't have control over me. Thank you so much, Dr. Paulette.
My pleasure. And that's what any good coach does, as you all know.
Yep.
When I coach someone, when I give advice, I have to assure that they're comfortable with the strategies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because telling isn't teaching. Mm-hmm. I can mm-hmm. tell people what to do, but if they're not comfortable doing it that way, they're not going to do it. So as an expert or master coach and teacher, before I leave that individual, we role play, we tweak. I said, okay, you don't have to say it this way. How will you feel comfortable saying it? Mm-hmm. And when I determine it serves the same purpose and know the individual is comfortable, then I'm confident they're going to employ it. Mm-hmm. And what Roz said is so right. Mm-hmm. All right, so if we can show the little video.
Okay.
The little video deal, and I'll comment on it afterwards.
Okay, sounds good.
Basically, it deals with how to stop credit stealing. So,
mm-hmm. All right, let me see if I can get this up for us.
I really like the way you built on my idea from what I said a few minutes earlier, and I'd love to work with you on it. That reminds people that you are collaborative, but that is largely your seed of an idea to start. It also sends a message to John that you are someone who recognizes what he's done and that you are so watching him. Remember, when this happens, you are often not alone, as this is literally one of the most common questions I get asked all the time. So the second thing to do, besides mentioning it when it does happen, is to become better at crediting other people when you see their ideas get appropriated, whether on purpose or not. It's actually a very common thing to happen to most people. And in particular, research shows it's most common when it comes to women of color, that their ideas get credited to other people in the office. But there are a couple ways to respond when you see it happening to others that actually can benefit you as well. A good way to support someone is to say, I really like the way John's taken Janelle's idea from our last meeting and worked with it. Have you two been working on it together since we were last together? Well, that does two things. First, it shows Janelle that you've noticed what just happened and that you've got her back, which is great for Janelle's morale because at times she probably feels just like you do, overlooked. That also might make Janelle more of an ally of yours in the future. And who doesn't want more of those? Secondly, it sends a shot across the bows to the Johns of the world. It shows that his perhaps sneaky move was seen by other people. So he should be careful about claiming ideas as his own.
Love that. Love it, love it, mm-hmm. love it.
Okay. Oh, cool. So, yes, it is. So, well, mm-hmm. the first part got cut off. So what was being said was somebody stole your idea at a meeting, acted like it's their idea, like Ray, what you explained. The mm-hmm. first thing is do not suffer in silence. Now, mm-hmm. you can privately, it depends. You have to decide what's most appropriate. Privately, be assertive. After the meeting, whenever, let the thief know your position. You know, say something like, Sally, both of us were to develop the presentation, yet I did most of the work and I had most of the ideas. So next time, please share the work as well as the credit.
Hmm. Okay. Well, wait, Paulette, when you said, you know, let the thief know, I was just cracking up inside. I was like, oh my goodness, they're a thief. They're stealing your ideas, but you don't really think of it that way, right? We just think, you know what? In reality, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's what plagiarism is, stealing someone's words as your own. So, but don't suffer in silence. So speak up privately, all right? Or you could speak up publicly. Sally's up there talking about this great idea for new performance review procedures. So you might say, oh, Sally, those are great ideas. Thank you so much for highlighting my proposal that I put forth a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That is not aggressive. that is polite, respectful, assertive, and as the a doctor, I can't think of her name there, the woman you just saw on the tape said, you're telling these people we're watching you. Mm-hmm. Right? Then the other point is be an ally. Credit the person whose ideas were stolen. So for example, when we see this happening to others, speak up. So Carol is stealing Sylvia's ideas or acting like they're her own. So maybe Sylvia doesn't speak up. So why don't you say, you know, Carol, I'm so glad you mentioned this. Sylvia actually proposed this last week. Mm. And it's wonderful to see Sylvia's ideas gaining traction.
Mm-hmm. So, Paulette, stop right there, because Brett has something in the comments that I think is critical and speaks exactly to what you're saying. Brett says men play a role, too. We need to understand women to support, especially leaders. It benefits me when women are able to express their best.
Thanks. Brett.
Plus, they're more creative. Thank you, Brett. That is an amazing, because it's not just us. Yes, mm-hmm. we have to own it, and we cannot wait for anyone else. But at the same time, increasing awareness about, mm-hmm. You know, for our leaders around us to know the impact and the effect of not having those ideas known and appreciated and so much. So we also have a comment out there. So I never shared much of my achievements because all I get from that are haters and threats. So thank you so much for sharing it. And it's really hard. There is a program. I don't know if you all are familiar with the I Am Remarkable program by Google. Okay. Uh-oh. Google has a program called I Am Remarkable, specifically designed for women. And it's a workshop. And I participated in this workshop. And this workshop is simple. It's about giving you space and opportunity to share your accomplishments. So they'll ask you questions like, think back over the last 8 years. What are you really proud of? What are some of the great things? If I could tell you the power in that room, those women were bawling. They were bawling going, oh my gosh, I never get to share this. I didn't even think about that. I never gave myself credit for that first book. I mean, the tears in that room, I was so moved. I thought to myself, wow, this is really something. So the program is called I Am Remarkable, and it's simply about lifting women. And here's how it started. They started it because they did a survey within Google and realized that women were not promoting themselves, and they were not comfortable promoting themselves. And what they found is that women, we are some of the harshest critics mm-hmm. to when other women self-promote. All of a sudden, oh, look at her. She thinks she's all that. She's trying mm-hmm. to climb to the top. She's doing mm-hmm. all of this. And so they really began a whole cultural transformation around this. I wanted to share that because I think this. So I'm going to go back to a comment for a second. Then we're going to start wrapping up. I can't believe the show's almost over. It's gone so fast. The Joke Chris on watching on YouTube. Thank you for tuning into our community. And we would love for you to subscribe if you have not already. I almost got killed when Marc Jacobs chose me as one of the special beauty people in the world. Jealousy. And she says, jealousy is a very dangerous thing. So this is about being savvy, right? And about mm-hmm. being comfortable and competent, but knowing that not everything that happens as a result of that is your fault, right? Some mm-hmm. people will just do things that are just not normal. And you can't necessarily control that. But that doesn't mean that you need to put yourself in a box either. Right. So let's start our wrap up. And
okay. I have one more technique.
Oh, yes.
that you're going to want to hear.
Yes.
Before your next meeting, get together with like-minded colleagues, men and women, like Brett said, because men want to support also, and make a plan. Promise each other to highlight the ideas and suggestions that you all share. So in this way, you showcase publicly what your colleagues, and this helps stop a credit stealer. Mm-hmm. So I love the idea Janelle just shared. That would be mm-hmm. terrific. And Susan made such a great comment earlier. This suggestion is remarkable. And by highlighting our successes publicly, or highlighting other people's successes publicly, you have their back, they'll have yours. What this does is it makes it patently absurd for someone else to claim credit for your ideas after everyone already knows who's really responsible.
Mm-hmm. Wow. No, it's awesome. It's great that there are these techniques that are out there to help us, right? To help us do this. So let's take our picture here before we forget, because I know I will definitely forget.
Wait. Thank
you. Okay, got it. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So how about we do this? How about we share some of the results that have come in? I think we only got about 8 results that came in, but that's okay. It's a place for us to start the conversation. Let me put it in presentation mode and I will share it on the screen with us. And then show results. Okay, so 38. All right, so share. This is so interesting. This was kind of fun. So I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to share a window. I'm going to share this window. Okay. So we got 8 people that responded, and some said, "I'm very confident," 38%, which was tied with, "I do self-promotion and take credit, but not as effectively or as often as I should." And then we have 25% who said, "I don't want to take credit. It's not important to me at all." Which is, that's one I think we could almost do a whole show on, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to take credit, because I have a lot of questions about that as a coach, you know, where I would love to dive into, why is it not important? Why don't you want to take credit? Where is it not important? Is it not important to you personally? Right. Is it not important to your bank account, to your career, to your team? Like, there are lots of questions for me that come up when I see someone that says taking credit is not important to me. So I think that's really interesting. But thanks to everyone for participating. This poll is going to remain open for another 2 days. And so if you want to respond, if you want to share the poll, if you've got a daughter and a mother, an aunt, anyone in your life that you would like to know, are they really taking credit? Share the poll with them. Give them an opportunity to really think about how they're doing that. So that was fun and very cool. Thanks everyone for participating in that. So let's do our little what's in your cup animation. And then when we come back, we're going to wrap up and share what are our final takeaways. What do we want to leave people with from this conversation? So we'll do that right after this. All right, so we're gonna go around the horn and talk about what you want people to take away from this conversation. Marae, let's start with you. What did we put in your cup today?
Oh, my cup is full, really full. Thanks, Paulette. But for me, the techniques are really, you know, the most important thing. And the fact that we need to focus on ourselves instead of, you know, focusing on what people are going to think and how we're going to come across. It's really about owning the process, owning what we do, and being comfortable with, you know, what we've accomplished, and use those techniques, staying polite and respectful, but still, you know, saying and being visible as well. Yeah. Because I think that's the key thing, you know, so people see and you say it and then they see it as well. So everything matches. So I think that's the key for me today.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Marae. Roz, what about you? What's in your cup?
I have dined sufficiently today. I am full as a tick. Mm-hmm. the biggest thing, what the leftovers I'm taking from this table is how we can change our language to have power and control. Mm. Just a simple tweak, and you can get so much more with a simple tweak. I'm Roz Jones. I'm done speaking.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Roz. It sounds simple, right? It's not rocket science stuff, but yet conditioning ourselves to do it is the challenging part. So
and not to overthink, because sometimes we overthink it.
Yes.
And if you listen to those few sentences that Dr. Paulette says, and I'm gonna go back and rewind and write them down and put them in my notes, in my phone, mm-hmm. just sometimes 1 to 10 words can change the whole trajectory of your success. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely will need to do a summary show of this, highlighting some of those techniques. So there'll be another content piece out of this, because I think it's good for people to just get to some of the meat and potatoes mm-hmm. of the discussion. So Dr. Paulette Dale, it's always a pleasure to have you. You have been just amazing today. What is it? What final words would you like to share? And what would you like people to take away?
I would like people to take away that the need to self-promote has never been greater. We risk being canceled, cancel culture. We risk being canceled and overlooked when we don't draw attention to our successes and our strengths. Remember, self-promotion is a skill, and we improve it with practice.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And yeah, thank yeah. you. Absolutely. And Dr. Dale, people can connect with you on LinkedIn, correct?
Paulette Dale on LinkedIn. Connect with me. Request a connection and I will respond immediately.
All right. Fantastic. Well, you know, I think some of my thoughts and as I was leading up to today's show, really thinking about this, I want to share this. I'm going to do this at the end. It's going to be called my last drop, right? So it is your responsibility to proudly and assertively share your achievements. Waiting for others to see it is a fast path to frustration. It's also something that contributes to women earning less, not getting mm-hmm. promoted at the same rate. Yeah. We have to own that and step into it. Now, do we take responsibility for other people's bad behavior? Absolutely not. But we can control what we can control. And I think we can do more to ask for what we want, to speak up, and to take credit. That is within our realm of responsibility to do. So I'm super excited that this was an amazing show today. Thank you everyone out there for joining us. We had a wonderful time being here. Thank you for everyone for the contribution and the comments and all of that kind of kept us going today. Let's end with this comment. And then I'm actually going, how about if I play the video as we go out as a way of ending? So
people will love. You'll be pumped. Stay tuned for this video that's coming.
Yes, yes. Dr. Pat says, we all need a fan club that will remind us of how great we are. Thank you, Dr. Dale. I've gifted the Susan book to all of my clients. Thanks, Rhonda. Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. And Favor says, I've learned a lot this evening and will continue to showcase my achievement respectfully. Awesome.
I'm excellent. Thrilled.
If we touch a life and we make a difference, you know, that's why we do this. So let me go and great. I will share. Maria says, great show. Thank you, Maria. Thank you so much for being here. It's always great to see you. All right. So let me share.
And please stay for this video. I promise you will leave dancing and really pumped. So don't leave yet.
All right. So let's see. I'm going to share this. And then we are going to do this. I hope that worked.
And here, next to me, I have 4 bears for my name. Let me look at the space, not the people. You know, the fire is in the world. They're waiting for you, America.
What song did you pick? What if I don't know it? Trust me, you know the song.
Who wants to sing?
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on that floor, and no one's ever gonna keep me down again. I am invisible, invincible, I am for mine.
I am invincible.
Wow.
I am woman.
What a way to end the show. And on that note, I want to wish everybody a fantastic weekend. Next week, I will be doing the show from Cartagena, Colombia. So I will see you all on the other side. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week back here for all of my co-hosts. We'll see you in our short debrief. And then for everyone else, I will see you all next week on another episode of the Coffee with Rhonda show. Until next time, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.